Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we just want to thank you and we want to lift you up. Hallelujah. We want to lift you up on today, Father God, because you have been so good to us, Lord. You have done so many great things for us, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And it's a lot of times that we have not a gadio koshia. Oh, God, giving you the credit for all the things that you do, God. We have not acknowledged you as we should, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because of the very acts that happens in our lives, Lord. But right now, God, we want to cast down any and everything right now that we have exalted higher than you, Lord. We want to pour down any and everything right now, Father God, that has caused us to be in your course, to elevate these things higher than you, so that we could get in your face, God. We want to lift you up and we want to exalt you, for you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. You, God, are great and you are greatly to be praised, and there is nobody else that is like you, God, in all the earth. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are great and you are greatly to be praised, and there is nobody else that is like you, God. Nobody that can compare. Nobody that is equal. Nobody that can stand before you, God. You are he who was, who is, and who is to come. You, Lord, is the Alpha and the Omega. You, God, is the beginning and the end. You are the creator of all creations. You are the reason for our very being. You are the epitome of our existence. It is you, God. We are not from evolution, but we are from you, Father God. He called it a local shana. And we exalt you on today. And we lift you up on today, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you say into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. So that's what we're going to do, God. We're going to enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We're going to give you our best on today, God. We're not going to worry about who here and who ain't. We're not going to be modest or too cute. We're not going to be consumed with the cares of this world and this life that we cannot give you what is due you. And that is all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We want to give it to you right now, God. We dare not allow any rocks to cry out for us. We dare not allow any okosana. Oh, God, no problem, no sickness, no concern, no troubles, no ailments can prevent us from blessing you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. You've been so good to us, God. You've been so good to us, Lord. Oh, God, you are called out. And we're going to magnify you. We're going to magnify you on today, God. Hallelujah. We're going to do it with the clapping of our hands. We're going to do it with the stomping of our feet. We're going to do it in a dance. We're going to do it with that sound, God. We want to give you that sound, Lord. We don't want to be okoshanere lakasia. And we want to do it in tibi okoshanere lakasia. Because you're worthy, God. You're worthy, God. Oh, mama, nidiloko, shan, nidiloka, see. You're worthy, God. Oh, God, and we want to cast all our cares at your feet. We want to give you all the stuff that's preventing us from opening up our mouths. We want to give you all the stuff that's preventing us from praising you in spirit and in truth. We want to empty ourselves out right now, Father God. Oh, God, because we don't want to continue to carry this stuff that keeps us in a place of bondage. We don't want to continue to think about these things, Father God, that got us linked up. We do not want to continue, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to be stuck to the fire, the web of deceit. Oh, God. But we want to be loosed and free. freedom today. So we're welcoming you into this place because we can't be free without you. We'll welcome you into our hearts because it can't be healed without you. We're welcoming you in our minds because you can't regulate it without you, God. We're welcoming you into our situations because we know that you are a fixer up. We're welcoming you in this sanctuary, God, because we desire to be in your presence, Lord. We want to lay at your feet. We want to hear your voice. We want to feel your breath. Oh, God. Oh, my mind, little Ocosia. Be in our midst on today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, my mind, little Ocosia. Be in our midst on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. He called it Okoshana. Open up the hearts of your people, Father God, that they may be able to accept your word on today, God. You know what each and every last one of us needs. You numbered the hairs on our head. You named us, Lord. Even before we came into existence, the very bowels of our mama's belly, you know all about what's going on inside of our hearts. You know all about what's going on inside of our lives. You know about it all, Father God, because you are a great God and your eyes is in every place, beholding the good as well as the evil. You, God, oh my mind, so I'm asking you to meet our needs on today, God. Oh God, govern over the Okoshanida la Kasia. Oh God, let your spirit dwell in here. Encamp it in here. Let it be habitated in here. Oh God, that that your people will be healed, delivered, and set free. Oh God, govern it on me. Oh God, we need you like we never ever needed you before, Lord. Oh my mind, Okoshanida la Kasia. We need you like we never, ever needed you before, God. And we're crying out to you on tonight, God. We're crying out to you in this second, in this very hour, in this season in our lives, Lord. Because we need you to unchange some things in us. We need you to break some chains, God. We need you to loose some things, God, that we may be able to change within our own selves. But we're coming to you on today, Father God, confessing that we need your help and that we cannot do it on our own, Lord. Oh, my mind, we don't even know how to begin to do it, God. We try to do it, God, and then it seemed like they did Okoshana. So I'm asking you to remove any hindrances and any stumbling blocks today, God. Oh, God, I'm asking you to help us on today, God. Because we need you like we never, ever needed you before. Oh, mama, we need you, Lord, like we never, ever needed you before. I'm asking you to uproot some things out of our hearts on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. That has caused us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to constantly do repetitive acts. Causes us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to run the cycles around in our mind and in our hearts, God, that you want to uproot, God, sever these things from us on today. Even now, God. In your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. So, the Lord woke me up really early this morning. In the midst of him waking me up, he started talking to me and ministering to me about some things and about some situations and about some concerns that us as his people is having, because it's a lot of times that we don't go to God about any and everything because we always try to work it out our own self. And in us doing it, it's almost like that. It's a repetitive thing. It's a repetitive act that we do things this way. It's a lot of things in a lot of situations that we are practicing in our lives that God wants us to turn from. He don't want us to keep doing these same old things, because these things does not just hinder us, but it's almost like it's anchoring us and positioning us in a way that he don't want us to be positioned or anchored in. See, I done heard so many of us in our lives say, that's just me and I'm not going to change for nobody. That's just the way I am, because we think and believe that because we are grown, or we think and believe that because we've been doing this so long that we doing it the right way, or we believe that this thing is being done the right way. But in actuality, these things is hindering us. It's hindering us from actually seeing the light in it all. It's a lot of situations and concerns and experiences that we even go through. And as we going through these situations, these experiences and all this other stuff, it causes us to think and believe that it's just like that. We get so deceived by what we're seeing and by what we're hearing until it cannot nothing change, because we are deceiving within our own selves. It could be a conversation. It could be a word. It could be something that we have actually visibly been in the midst of. In the midst of us being in that thing, we can't see nothing but what we are in right there at that moment and in that season. So we have to allow ourselves to get into a place of understanding the will that the Lord has for us. See, we think that people be talking about us or pointing their finger or wagging their head at us when they come and they say certain other things that could very well help us. But because when we look at that thing or when we hearing that thing, it causes us to feel some type of way, because it's almost like a correction or a reproof, and we don't want that. We don't want to be reproved. We don't want to be corrected. We don't want to see it the way that God sees it. But it's a lot of times that we cannot change because of the darkness that still dwells within our mind, inside of our thoughts. Now, God have been and showed you the light. You have been and said that you accepted the light. You have been and even believed that you are walking in the light. But yet we are still practicing certain other things that exposes the darkness is still present. And then when it's brought to our attention, we don't want to accept it. Not only do we not want to accept it, we don't want to even discuss it or talk about it. How about it offends us? Yesterday I was sitting down on my couch, and as I was sitting down on my couch, I had just got through cooking. And so as I was just sitting there resting, because I had not sat down since I hit the floor at 4:15 in the morning, I was sitting down, and as I was sitting down, this is what the Lord said to me. He said, offense. I say offense. He says, yes, offense. Offense is offending. I say offense is offending. He said, yes, offense is offending. He said, I say, Lord, well, why is offense offending? He said, did I not tell you that when you go to people, when you say certain things or you do certain things, that it's going to offend them? I say, yeah. He said, so offense is offending. Because when a person's offended, they feel like they're in a place they have to be offensive. So I say, Lord, I'm trying to understand what you're trying to say to me. He said, when you go to people and you speak to them and tell them what thus said the Lord, or you reveal to them the darkness that's dwelled inside of them, you just manifesting the truth, which offends them. I say, but Lord, your word says that we ought to do this. Then he took me to the scripture. He says, I said, if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, that you're supposed to go to them and help them to be back restored. But when you go to them and you are trying to tell them, it offends them. They get offensive. They're offended. They're offended because they don't want to accept the truth, because 90% of the time when these things are said or even spoken to us, we do not want to accept that it is really us, because it's normal. It's something that we have been doing all our lives. It's a way that we have been acting all our lives. It's the way that we have been talking all our lives. And to even when we are communicating or talking with somebody else, we talking and they adding on. And it's the evil communication. Why do you say evil communication when that's a good person? Yes, the verbiage, the conversation, the thought, the pointing the finger, the wagging the head, or they need to do this, or they should do this, or that. I try to be so mindful. I'm not saying I do it all the time, and I'm talking about me. But I try to be mindful, even in conversation, of saying what a person should or what they should not do. Even when it's concerning my own self. Because we be right on the brink of pointing the finger, wagging the head, and judging one another. But if you walking in the light and something is revealed to you that is darkness, is it called reproof or is it reproving? It's both. Now mind you, in the midst of it, in hearing, are we in a place where we want to accept it, that we may be able to want to change? Because these things got us in chains. It got us in chains. The name of the sermon today is Unchangeable, Unchained Changes. That's what he said. Unchangeable, Unchained Changes. And then he put an exclamation point. Unchangeable, Unchained Changes. See, we still linked up to a whole lot of things, a whole lot of practices, a whole lot of thoughts, a whole lot of actions, a whole lot of reactions that got us in chains, balls in chains, because we're still dragging it along. It got us in chains and we linked up and it got us bound and in a place of bondage because it's hard for us to change the unchangeable. What do you mean by that? Unchangeable, unchanged change. The Bible declares that thing that I go to do, that I know to do, I do not. But that thing that I know I shouldn't do or that I don't want to do, that thing is what I do all the time. Evil is always present. And what do the Bible say about the heart? Because it's not what defiles you, what go in, it's what comes out. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know? You don't even know what's in your own heart. I'm not like that. And I wouldn't do. You don't know what you would do or what you would say or how you would act in a certain situation. You just wouldn't. Unchangeable. Unchangeable is being not capable of changing or being changed. What do you mean I'm not capable? Because a lot of people, I said it, I'm almost already to preach the whole sermon already. Not capable of changing or being changed. Why? Because that's just me. And I'm not changing for nobody. I don't want to change. I think I'm all right. I remember this guy that I was dating and actually, we were going to get married. And so in the midst of it, he did a whole bunch of things that I knew was not pleasing in the sight of God. Now, I'm trying to live saved and he not saved at all. And this is why the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. Now, he just not saying that in relationships, but he talking about it in friendships. He talking about it in workshops. He talking it, because don't you know you could be unequally yoked even on your job? That job may not fit you. You may be so unequally yoked in that job until it caused you to be bondage in your mind and in your heart. And when you go to that job, you can't even perform it right. You can't, you don't even want to go perform it. You know, see, because when you are equally yoked, it becomes a joy to do certain other things or be in the presence of certain other people or be attached for, and it ain't gonna bother you when some detachments start taking place. Because let me tell you something, even when you are equally yoked, it's still some things that need to be detached that you can stay in unity. Are y'all following me? We did see. I done heard some people say this. I mean, we used to be really good friends. We we used to talk about a lot and did a whole bunch of things together and such. And things just sound not the same. We don't do that. Because some things had to be detached. Why did some things have to be detached? The Lord probably separated that friendship in that season that we may be able to understand what's in the inside of us. Because if that thing was not detached, it would have caused more chaos than what was already there. We would not have gotten to a place or even to a point inside of our lives and our minds and our thoughts or even in our very verbiage that would help us to change that thing that's hard to change. The unchangeable. The unchangeable. We may have even said to ourselves that it ain't me. It ain't me. Is it or vice versa. It's always me. I'm always the one doing something wrong. I am always there. And that's a form of mockery. We don't even understand that that's a form of mockery. Because if somebody comes to you and say a certain other thing that is recognized, but you don't recognize it, is that that unchangeable thing that got you in chains? But you don't know that you in chains? Or you don't want to accept you in chains because it ain't nothing wrong? This man flat out told me, ain't nothing wrong with me, it's you. I said, okay. I said, but I'm going to pray. Because I'm afraid of anybody that think and believe that they got it together. Why would I be afraid of that person? I'm not afraid of that person per se, morally or immorally. No, I'm afraid for that person because they don't know they headed straight to perdition, which is hell. And God has no delight that any of his people should perish, not even the very wicked. So even the wicked in their wickedness, God wants them to see light in the very darkness that they walk in. I'm going to prove it to y'all. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. I'm not making this stuff up. See, God don't want us to do, be, or perform certain kind of acts inside of our lives because of our very ways. Our ways that got us chained. He told me today, he said, my people are stuck to the web of deception. And I was talking to my daughter on my way to church this morning, and I was telling her, I said, I heard this pastor say that not only is deception real, but it has been accepted by society that's unacceptable by God. It's unchangeable, unchained changes. We stuck, y'all, and we are being deceived by the way that it is presented to us to make it be okay and acceptable. And what do we call it? Entertainment. This is what we call it. They'll do it through laughter. They'll do it through a movie. They'll do it through a play. They'll do it even in the very church house. But I was watching this this praise dance on social media, and it's supposed to be, praise dance is something that's supposed to be offered up to God. This praise dance was so provocative and using it, and everybody was setting up, clapping their hands and saying, it's not acceptable in the sight of God, but man has made it acceptable because it sound good, yet it was sexually provocative and it was out of order with the song. The web of deception, even in the church. The web of deception, even in the very things that we do, with the things that we accomplish inside of our lives, is absolutely nothing that we are getting on our own. It's not no knowledge that you obtain, because without God, you would be a lunatic. You would know absolutely nothing. Even in the scriptures that I'm giving y'all today, the Bible declares that we got to be wise. And we got to understand the will that the Lord has for our life. But because we allow so much to be acceptable in the land today, that it causes us to be unchangeable. And we change. We're changed. How we're changed. Is it changed for the better or is it changed for the worse? What won? What won? Have we accepted the unacceptable? Have we? Accept the unacceptable. Unacceptable is accepted. And accepting the unacceptable, is it saying that I agree with it? Hecky no. So don't get it twisted when I say that. Accept the unacceptable. It does not mean that I agree with it. I just agree that you don't want to accept the truth. That's what I accept. I accept that you are in chains and in bondage. I was talking to this up-and-coming prophet in the midst of me talking to this gentleman, and this was years ago. This was years ago. I'm giving y'all these examples and these stories because I'm going to give y'all the word and it's going to prove everything that I'm saying. In the midst of it, I was trying to explain something to him that the Lord wanted me to show him because he believed that he knew and thought. And so in the midst of me telling him, which he did not want to accept it, and he disregarded it, he started talking and saying some stuff. And so I just literally listened to everything that he said because the Lord told me, he said, just listen to this. The Lord told me he was a babbling fool, but I listened. And so in the midst of me listening, I said, I'm going to pray for you because you lost. Ooh, why did I say that? I'm not lost. Who do you think you is? You think because God such and such as I said, oh, Lord. See, when you tell a person that they are lost, it does not mean they are lost cause. It does not mean that all is lost. It does not mean that there's no hope for you. It just means that you are chained to the web of deception, even within your own thoughts and your own self. I'm here to prove it. The name of the sermon again is unchangeable, unchained changes. Unchangeable is not capable of changing or being changed. What is unchained? It's to free by or as if by removing a chain. It's to set free as from slavery or confinement. What are you a slave to? Because we could be slaves to our very own thoughts that are negative. We could be slaves to our very own thoughts, not just because they are negative, but because to us, they are speaking logic when it's actually bondage. Anything negative is bondage, sweeties. Don't ever forget that. See, unchained is to be free from that thing that you believe is unchangeable. This person ain't gonna never change. They gonna always keep doing the same thing. Or they keep on doing the same thing. Or they keep on acting the same way. Or they'll be okay for a little while and then they go back. They're unchangeable. They don't. Is that really what it is? Is it? Is it really that they are unchangeable because they are unchained? Why are they unchangeable? Because they're not unchained yet, meaning they are not free. They're not free from that thing because they're still dwelling on that other thing. And so since this thing is happening and occurring, that other thing that happened and occurred caused them to act this way because of a new thing. Are y'all getting it? Let me say it in another way. It's some things and some situations and some concerns and some conversations and some speeches or something we saw or something that we heard in our past, no matter how long it was, that we still chained to. And so when we is presented now in our current state, our current mind, our current experiences and these challenges that we have in our lives right now in this season, it causes us to be chained even more because we are not unchained from the past. Are y'all paying attention? See, the unchangeable, unchained change is what's causing us to still be in that place of bondage. It's causing us to still be in that place of bondage because of that past thing. And so that past thing got us in that place of deception. And we stuck to the web of deception because of what we see, what we heard, what we know, what we believe, or even what we experience, or the challenge that we are in right now. Because of the chains that we're still holding on to. The name on the sermon again is unchangeable. Unchained changes. What is unchangeable? Not capable of changing or being changed. What is unchained? To free by or as if by removing a chain. To set free as from slavery or confinement. So what are we a slave to? Again, sometimes we be a slave to our very own thoughts because of past experiences. Is that not being chained? Is that not being in a place of bondage? Is that not preventing you from making the changes that is necessary for you to be free? So it's unchangeable. It's unchangeable because 90% of the time, this is what we say, that always happened to me. People are always doing me like that. Or did it? Why? Because it is bondage in our very own thoughts. Why? Because we ain't thinking logically. Why are we not thinking logically? You say, this always happened to me, and everybody always do me like this, and it's been a, how about changing your perspective in that experience that is repetitive in your life, that you may be able to understand the will of the Lord for you? Because this is not happening repetitively just because it's normal. No, it's not normal. It's not normal. It's abnormal. But what he's trying to get you is to a place of normality. How? By trying to help you to see that there is something that needs to be changed, that got you in change, but it's been unchangeable in your life. How? Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. What is changes? It's to make different or alter in some particular way. It's the act, the process, or result of making different. It's the frequent and usually sudden passing from one condition to another. Frequent. What do the Bible say? We die daily. So let me explain something to you. This thing that you believe is unchangeable in your life, you can't be disconnected from that chain or that link by simply making changes in your perspective, and the outcome will automatically change. Our perspective is what causes things to be unchangeable. In other words, the Lord can come to us and reveal some things that's inside of us, which he is the light, and there's a lot of darkness that dwells inside of us, even in our mind. So when he comes to us and he start revealing all these different other things, we cannot allow ourselves to be offended by it. Do we really want to accept really what is going on in the inside of us? Now, if he trying to help us to understand these things, that means our perspective have to change. And we people always point their finger and wagging their head at me. Folk always talking about me. Oh, they think they holier than thou. Or they think or they believe this. Or they, your perspective and your way of thinking. I'm going to prove it. I done gave a lot of examples and I said a lot of things just so that you guys can understand. Chapter 5. So I'm going to start at the top. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also have loved us, and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. What did I tell y'all last Sunday? When he said it is finished, that means it's finished. It's over with. We ain't got to be in bondage. We ain't got to be in chains. We ain't got to be worried. We ain't got to fear. Let me tell y'all something. This week has been really, well, last week, because Sunday is a new week. Last week was really a challenging week for me. Starting on Sunday, it's been so much. And when I tell y'all, last week was so challenging for me. And so in the midst of it, and because there were so many other people involved, and I was trying to help other people even in the midst of the challenges that I'm going through and the things that I'm going through. And then let me tell you how the enemy will try to attack you with the people that is closest to you. I'm talking about your children, your husbands, your wives. I'm talking about on your job. The folk that you... And listen to me. My perspective concerning the situations and the challenges that I was currently in, if I had not looked at, I just read the scripture, if I had not looked at it through the love of Christ and his sacrifice and the things that he did for us, the outcome would have been totally different. And I wouldn't be at peace right now. Let me, for real. My perspective is what changed. And when I saw the chaos and all the different other stuff that was said and being done with the other people, I just listened to them, because a lot of people need to release. I listened to them. And then after I listened to them, I said some things that helped their perspective to change. Even in the midst of their tears and the hurt and the fear and the pain, because I saw all of it. I was smack dab in the middle, and then I say this stuff always going on and happening, and I'm always in the middle for to try to get people to see or get people to understand just simply that had a peace. And what is peace? Peace is love, y'all. Listen to this. But be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us, and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So this is the unchangeable changes. Because in actuality, how many times? The Bible says that God made us in his own image, okay? So if he made us in his own image, what is the one thing that God has said several times in his Bible? That he is a jealous God. Okay? So jealousy, it is in our heart somewhere. It ain't got to be I'm jealous and I hate you because you got and I don't. Or it could be. I could just be jealous of simply not being able to obtain an area, and I see you have obtained it. That does not mean that I hate you or I don't, you know, because the Bible declares, there's a scripture in the Bible, and I'm paraphrasing, that I will provoke you into jealousy that you may change and do the right thing or do the wrong thing. But because God knew that this was inside of our heart, he told us not to covet, right? He said, covet not nothing concerning your neighbor, their house, their car, their dog, their cat, their husband, their wife. We don't not supposed to covet any of these things. Why? Because it will provoke us to be wicked and evil towards one another. All the stuff that God says inside of this Bible is to help us to be unchained from the unchangeable. If we did not listen to these things, we'll still be doing the same thing. We'll still be thinking the same way. We'll still be acting the same way. We will still look at things the same way. And then there's nothing that's going to change. And we're going to be stuck to that well of deceit because we think and believe that is what you do to me, I do to you. If you don't do that, that's just, I say, I love you. If I tell you I love you and you don't tell me that you love me back, then that's going to make me feel some type of way. So I got to change my perspective on that. If I tell you you love me and you don't tell me that you love me back, I'm not going to feel no type of way. Because in actuality, you show me you love me. So you ain't got to say it any time I say it. Or you tell me and I don't tell you. Y'all following what I'm saying today? It's these unchangeable things and these perceptions that we have within our own self that got us stuck to this web of deception. We deceive our own self. Oh, you don't love me? You ain't tell. Well, tell me you love me then. You know what? Tell me that ain't bondage. We got ourselves in bondage because of our perspective and the conditions that we place on one another. Okay, listen to this. But fornication and all uncleanness. What we know fornication is having sex out of wedlock. Okay? Having sex, it's adultery. It's having sex with another man, wife, or another man, husband. Fornication is having sex just period. Any kind of sex out of wedlock. So, what... Why do we do that? Because it feel good. That, you know, folk don't want to talk about sex over the pulpit. Okay, ooh, she said that, baby. I'm keeping it real. Because it feel good. Or because it represents my affection for you. It's telling you that I love you. It's telling you that I want to be with you or closer. It becomes intimate. It's an intimacy. You understand what I'm saying? And so, we don't supposed to do it. But because it has been done from the beginning of the time, because if it wasn't, God wouldn't have never gave the Ten Commandments. Am I right? We wouldn't have never known we was doing it if he had not told us we was doing it. And it was wrong. So, because it was done, it's something that's hard to unchange, ain't it? Just say you're in a relationship and y'all living together. I'm saying because this is what happened to me. Talk about me. So this was years ago. I was in a relationship and we was living together and we was fornicating and doing all this stuff, thinking and believing that we're showing each other that we love one another. And so the Lord had just started dealing with me and dealing with me and dealing with me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. He said, you got to, you sit up here and you teaching and you preach. I'm telling y'all, listen, I had to be in my early 30s when it, maybe 28 or 29, and I'm going into my 30s. He started dealing with me. I'm like, oh, Lord, you know I love you. And sister, I ain't put nobody before you. And sister. He said, well, do what I tell you to do. Stop it. But I didn't want to because it felt good. And I love that man. I wanted to show him that. And so now mind you, out of all the time, listen, did y'all hear what I said? Y'all just heard what I said. Out of all the time, I said, okay, Lord, okay, Lord. So I told him, I said, look, I said, Lord, been dealing with me. Now, mind you, I'm going to church and all this, and he know he's going to church and everything. We trying to get together for real. We trying to live right. And so all the time, I'm telling him, I'm saying, you know, I ain't fit to do that. So he said, well, I understand, baby. And so I never tell you, you try to go against God. And, you know, so he say he understand and all that. And so he went out and he was cheating. He was cheating on me. And so we still living together. So I said, you know what? I said, I can't really blame him because I ain't doing it. And so my perspective of that, and because, again, I love that nigga. I said, well, I'm going to do it because I don't want him to go and do it with nobody. Come on, y'all. I'm talking about Yvette. I did say I'm talking about me, right? And then so the Lord just kept on dealing with me. Kept on dealing with me. I was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. And so when I got ready to do it that last time, I just bust out crying. I was like, stop. Don't put it in. I was like, because I can't. I said, I can't just keep doing this to the Lord. I said, you know, and he understood and everything. And then so you know, we were still living together and all that stuff. But then I got up one morning because the Lord, baby, when I tell you, he dealt with me all night long. I was tossing, turning, tossing, turning, tossing, turning, turning. He said, you got to choose. It's either him or me. You got to choose. You made a vow to me and you say, sister, you got to choose. Baby, I got up and I went to Kmart. That's when Kmart was going on. I went to Kmart and in the midst of me going to Kmart, I went and I bought a whole bunch of totes. And in the midst of me buying a whole bunch of totes, I went and I started washing up all the clothes and I start packing up all his clothes while he was still asleep, put him in lots of toast and everything. And then when he woke up, he said, you always doing something. He said, what you doing? What was this all? And I say, you gotta go. He said, how you gonna try to put me out of something that I pay the bills? I said, I'll pay him when you leave. You gotta go. I said, because I can't do this no more. I said, because the Lord just keep on, he just keep on, I can't. I said, and I'm scared. You understand what I'm saying? See, it has to get to a place or to a point inside of us and our perspective. Now, mind you, all the while, he was trying to show me one thing when I believed he was trying to show me something else, okay? Now, so he left. Make a long story short, even the thought of me not being with him, I just started crying and such. And I was like, oh, man. You know what I'm saying? But I still wanted to please God. And then the Lord woke me up one morning and he broke out and said, he said, I just want you to see that you was loving him more than you was loving me. Now, mind you, I'm thinking, linked to my own understanding, that he trying to show me and trying to teach me how to walk holy. I'm thinking he trying to show me and trying to teach me how not to just give my body away. I'm thinking that, see, then he took me all the way back down to that scripture and he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now his commandments are not just the Ten Commandments. He said, and then you would abide in me. And then my truth will dwell in you, and my truth will make you free. It didn't say just set me free. It said make me. So it's some things that he had to make come into the light that was dark in me. I'm finna prove this. Ephesians. He said, but fornication and all uncleanness of covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. You know, jesting is mockery or joking around about something that's sacred or spiritual or even to in conversation, okay? But you know, you really being serious. You know how people said, yeah, they was acting like they was playing, but they was for real. You know what I mean? Which are not convenient, okay? But rather giving of thanks. Now, mind you, I did not understand that the Lord was teaching me to be thankful that he was sparing my very soul. All I was thinking about was, Lord, you need to hurry up and get me a husband in, because you know, again, I don't like the way that feel. I'm just saying, you understand what I'm saying? So I was not understanding that he was teaching me so many things because my perspective was so warped and warped in deceit that I was stuck and chained to the unchangeable. That thing I didn't want to change. That thing I did not want to stop. Listen, this is what he's saying. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, which that's what I was doing, raising stuff up or people up higher than him, have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Was not I in a place of deception, y'all? Listen. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Yes, I was being disobedient because of the very words. Now, mind you, it ain't even got to be in conversation. I told y'all earlier after I got through praying that it could be very words that you speak to your own self and your thoughts. You could deceive your very own self. Did you know that? You can deceive yourself. Listen to this. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, and righteousness and truth. I just sat up there and told y'all that. So I want to return back to my original state. And what is that? Good. Because the Bible declares that God made male and female. And when he looked at it, he said it was what? Good. Now I know that I cannot impute righteousness into my own self, because the ways of a man may seem like they are right unto him, but they not. They lead him to destruction and death. But God can do it. What? By me and my perspective being right towards people as well as towards others. And what? That's going to allow me to accept the truth. It's going to allow me to accept the truth for this right here. Even though it may be tight, it's right. Even though it may make me feel some type of way. Even though it may reprove me, rebuke me, buffet me, correct me. It's going to do all these things. But it's going to put me on the right track. The Lord had me to say, I think last week or either we was in Tuesday teaching, that he spared us in a nick of time. He told me that when it came to this situation and this relationship. He said, I spared you in a nick of time or you would have been doomed for hell and death. Even in the midst of it. And I was in the church, y'all. I told y'all that. I was going to church. I was involved in all kinds of stuff. I was on the pastor's day committee. I was in the choir, the praise team. I was on the kitchen committee. I was doing all the stuff. And I still was busting the air wide open. I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about nobody else. Because ain't nobody got no room to point their finger, wag their head at nobody. But I did not stop trying. I did not stop coming. I did not limit myself in God. But in the midst of me doing it, he had to show me the darkness that was inside of me as I walked in the light. Okay. This is what the Bible says. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto God, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So I got to reprove myself. I got to reprove myself. Or when somebody else comes, because the Bible says that if you see your brother or your sister overtaking them, you're supposed to go to them and help them to be back restored. That does not mean that I'm coming to you. You should do this or you should do that. You got to stop doing this or you got to stop doing this. How about you come to me? The Bible says you're supposed to come to me in love. You're supposed to come to me and to help me to see that dark thing that I'm performing or acting or speaking or walking or living in, because God has revealed it and manifested to you because he is the light. This is what the Bible says. This is what it says. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Yeah, talk about us. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. I just told y'all that. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So are we all walking? What, how many times I've said this? I said we walking around here with our eyes open wide shut. We sleepwalking. We walking around here thinking we living the best life and we walking dead. Why? Because we have not entered into the fullness of his light. Because we don't want to reprove ourselves. And lo and behold, if somebody come and say something to us or try to show us our fault or try to say us something, we get offended. Why? Because we don't want that thing to be manifest or exposed. Or how about we are in denial? Or that ain't me. Or they that, well, baby, look, I'm just coming to tell you. And then God knew that when he sent Jesus down here for to get us together, that a lot of us weren't going to accept it. He said, if they don't accept it, let your peace return unto you and kick the dust off your feet and keep it moving. You did your part. But me and Yvette, I still be trying to get people that I still be like, and the Lord say, why didn't I give you a job? You do your job and let me do man. You done planted the seed. I'm going to send somebody to water. Don't worry about it. Because you can't do it all. He said, I'm the one to get an increase. So I had to approve my own self. Why? Because I was walking in darkness. How was you walking in darkness and you was a pastor or a prophet or such, 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 such? Because in the midst of me helping or trying to approve, I was right on the brink of judging. I was right on the brink of pointing my finger and wagging my head. I was, and see, and this is how you can recognize some things within you. How can I help you when I ain't even trying to help myself? I can't help you like that. That's vain. That's what he's saying. It's vain. So if I don't give you the truth as an example within my own self, because it ain't no shame, embarrassment, fear, I ain't got none of that. Because I can recognize it and I know it because I was there. I know that unchangeable, unchained changes is hard. I know it ain't easy for to stop yourself from being so defending yourself or being defensive all the time because you always felt like you was picked on and folks messed with you all the time. Are they all the time talked about you? I know it's hard to change that. It's hard to they got to accept me for who I am. And if they don't accept me for who I am, then now you got an attitude because of your perspective. A lot of people ain't going to accept none of us for who. Actually, none of the people is going to accept you for simply who you are, what you're doing. They're just not. Because you're never, don't you know folk going to talk about you for doing good or doing bad. So how can anybody accept you or anything? He talking about us. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspect, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that's it right there. What is his will for your life? That you may have life and have it in abundance. He wants you to be in health. He wants you to be good health. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to have long life. This is the will that he has for our life. But in order for us to be able to know and understand his will for our life, we got to be wise how and how we perceive things, how we look at things, how we react to things, how we say things, how we listen to things. Because in our listening, we got to make sure that we walking in circumspectly, that our thoughts will not alter us to be unchangeable. Did I help somebody today? Because it's a whole lot of times that we've been, I think about even the little things, when he kept having me to ask Miss Gloria to go to the hospital, her unchangeable, unchanged changes took her to a place or to a point where almost death overtook her mortal body. Okay? But once she got, she doing good now, y'all. She ain't on that ventilator no more. She ain't taking dialysis no more. Her blood pressure is stable, and they fit to put her in a regular room. She fit to leave intensive care. You see, unchangeable, unchained changes. To be unchained is to be free from even that old stuff. Them old thoughts, them old ways, them old actions that has caused us to be in the current state of position that we are in now in our thoughts, in our perspective. Did y'all hear what I say? These things will put us right to be in the will of the Lord. So we got to change our prayers. How can we change our prayers? Because we pray the same thing over and over again. But God says that, I just read it, we got to be wise. We got to be wise. So Lord, how about I let the Spirit intercede for me, and that I start using the wisdom inside of me, that it would change me, that I will not be changed or linked to these things that has caused me to be in that place of bondage or that place of fear. You understand what I'm saying? So yellow sheets of paper and red pens. Get some and pass them out. We want to pray for Sister Lisa. She got the flu. She had to be rushed to the hospital this morning. She could not breathe. We want to pray for any and everybody that we don't see. I got so many phone calls. It's so much going on with the people on the phone. And all I can think about, because of what I was going through all last week, I'm like, the enemy is on the rise, baby. Like never before. And he messing with the people and the folk. He trying to attack us in any and every way that is possible that will keep us stuck to that web of deception. That's what he doing. He want us to think and believe this or stop doing that. When I tell y'all, my phone was ringing out there. I was telling my daughter, I was talking to my, I said, babe, she said, mommy, you ain't been to sleep. I said, girl, I'm exhausted. But I can't stop. And because there's so many people that need you. It's so many people that just need a prayer. Oh, I got to go here. Oh, I got to go there. On top of me going out of town last week, driving 7 hours there and back, and it was strictly business, had nothing to do with me getting some rest or pleasure. So when I think about all the stuff that the enemy is trying, let me tell you something. He wants us to be in that place that we look for other comfort and other sources or other things that other people get. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So I want y'all to write down all this stuff that got you in that place. I want you to write down all this stuff. Because sometimes when we try to change that unchangeable thing, it makes us have false hope or lost hope. But we just got to hold on just a little bit longer and keep pressing. It may not be easy all the time for us to get to that place. It may not be easy for us. We may not be able to understand that we are stuck in that place. Jesus.
But first of all, for clarity reasons, the sun that we're talking about is not the celestial bodies that give off heat.
He came that we may have life and have it in abundance. I saw Sister Mary in a store the other day. That's my second time seeing her within a month.
Some of you all may refer to him as Jehovah Jireh. Some of you all may refer to
him. She had called me way before I had saw her.
He's the God of my soul.
She was in that dark place. And in the midst of her even being in that place, the Lord had me to reveal some things inside of her that was going on inside of her. And what did I just read? Ready. Some things come upon us because of decisions that we make. I told my son on this week, every decision that you make is a consequence afterwards. Help us, God. As we write down these things, it causes us to be in a place of a bondage in our minds and even in our thoughts. Lord, we've been waiting on you to help us to change that unchangeable thing that caused us chained, caused us to be chained up. Take your time, write this stuff down. When you get through writing it down, please don't put it on the chair. Put it on the altar. And then stay on the altar and start praying for yourself. Don't worry about what nobody else is doing or who doing it or who finished or who ain't. Baby, you got to do this thing for yourself because God want to do some things for us on today. If you feel like you want to stand in the gap for somebody, your loved ones, or somebody that's close to you, write their name down. Any and everything that has caused you to be in a place of bondage, even in your thoughts, I'm asking God to help us even in our perspective on things, even towards one another, y'all. He told me to tell us today, even in these scriptures in Ephesians chapter 5, that we ought to be wise, that we may be able to understand the will of the Lord for our lives. So we have to use wisdom, y'all, even in our conversations to other people. Sometimes you just got to listen. Listen before you respond or you speak, because God will be talking to you in the midst of that person talking. He do it to me all the time. When I get these phone calls or when somebody is busy, I can even be in a restaurant. Folks just walk up to me and start talking to me. And the Lord start ministering to me about certain other things in a certain situation. And so as I'm listening to them, I am being wise by simply following the book. He says, be slow to speak and always willing to listen. And so in the midst of me listening to them, God has given me some things to say to them. And when they finish, by the time they get finished saying what they got to say, and then I say the things that the Lord want me to say to them, oh God, I feel all kind of relief lifted up off of them. So we got to understand some things, and we got to let go of some things. But in our understanding, we got to change our perspective, because you may be in that situation that you think that you are in, not just because you are disobedient, but it's because God is trying to show you some stuff. Yeah, disobedience may be a part of it, but he wants you to learn some things. He wants you to understand some things, because he got a plan for you and a thought towards you that are good, and it is not evil. Even concerning our grown children, because we carry so much. Even concerning our unborn children, the children that we desire, the children that we have, the ones that we watch, the ones that we take and hover over our own selves as our own. Even in our friendships, our relationships, on our jobs, y'all. All this stuff. He wants our perspective to change. The unchangeable, unchained changes. He want to address these things, because he want these things to change within us, because it's hard for us to change of our own selves. We can't. It ain't easy and it's hard. But he is here for to help us on today. So please write down all this stuff. Put this stuff on the altar. Release all these things. That's hard for you to change. And it's got you in a place of bondage. You is in chains, in shackles. You're linked up to some stuff in your thoughts and in your mind. Remember what he said earlier about negativity. Any negative thoughts is bondage. Any negative actions is bondage. And even though you try to change it, you can't. That means you chained to it. But God wants you to be free. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to have life in abundance with hope, peace, love, and joy. He wants us to have long life. Jesus. Why we think that we are in a place of darkness, we walking in darkness, even in the midst of him trying to show us the light. But we cannot accept that light, because these things has us in bondage. These thoughts. Father God, I'm asking you to touch your people on today. I'm asking you to touch your people on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and cover your people. Cover us, your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we will not be in a place of bondage. Lord, we need you like we never ever needed you before, Father God, because there's some unchangeable things that got us unchained, God. We want to make the changes, Lord, but it is hard for us to make these changes, especially with the experiences that we experience, especially with the things that occur inside of our lives, Lord. Especially with these challenges, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and it seems as if it's not going to get better, even the more that we pray to you, Lord. We're asking you to help us on today, Father God, not to think negative, talk negative, speak negative, or even act negative, Lord. We're asking you to help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to be dwelling inside of you, your will, your way, your purpose, and your plan, Lord. But it's a lot of times, Lord, that we just not done your understand your will for our lives, Lord. So I'm asking you to expose it on today, Father God. You said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that the light will prove us, God. Let it reprove us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we will not cleave to the darkness. We will not cleave to it, Father God, in the name of Jesus, thinking and believing that we are doing something right, when in actuality we are doing something wrong. Oh God, I'm asking you to help us on today. I'm asking you to help us in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, Father God, on our jobs and our finances, and even in the situations that we are currently in this season, God. Help us not to dwell on that season that has passed, Father God, that we cannot change. That is unchangeable. So Lord, I'm asking you to help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because these things have a tendency, Father God, of putting us in a place, Father God, of lost hope. Lord, we don't want to be in that place of deception. We don't want to be in that place, Father God, where we are slaves to the unchangeable things. Lord, we don't want to continue to be slaves. We don't want to continue, Father God, to hold our own self hostages and put a noose around our own neck, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But we want to be free from some stuff. We want to be free from it all, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And yes, Lord, we're coming to you confessing that it's hard. Yes, Lord, we're coming to you confessing, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that these things have a tendency, God, of pulling us all the way down in that dark place. We don't want to be sometimes the Lord, but we want to be all the time there with you, God. So all the time, Lord, we want to be able to come to you and cast our cares at your feet. We don't want to hold on to these things, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we think and believe that we care for more than you. We don't want to be idolaters or whoremongers. We do not want to be liars or cheaters. We do not, Father God, in the name of Jesus, want to continue to think or either act evil towards one another. But the unchangeable acts that is formed against us, God, it provokes us into going into that place. But Lord, we want to ask you to help us to have self-control. Help us to have self-control in our thoughts and our minds, even towards one another. Help us on today, Father God, to sever these things. Sever these things, Father God, that got us hostage in our thoughts, Lord. Sever these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that got us hostage, God, from moving forward. We do not want to be stuck. We do not want to be shamed. We do not want to be embarrassed. So I'm asking you, Father God, to continue to manifest these things, God, that we may be able to walk in your truth, being circumspect, walking in your holiness. Oh God, we ask you to help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we'll get more concerned about our salvation than you, God. Oh Lord, not idolizing anything or anybody, putting or raising up anything or anybody higher than you, Lord. Oh God, we're asking you to help us, Lord. We need your help like we never ever needed your help before, Father God, because a lot of these things are unchangeable, Lord. Because we are placing them in our lives as being normal. Lord, it is not normal. Remove the abnormality in our lives, Father God, that we think and believe is normal. Oh God, I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will shower us with your love. Oh God, and instill your love inside of us, that we may be able to give that love, Father God, and not because of it's obligated, not because, Father God, it's got a title on it, but simply, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because we're loving as we love ourselves. Help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to be at peace with one another, that we would not continue to walk around and do the things, Father God, that we think or believe, Father God, is right, Lord, when we are doing wrong. Write your words upon the tables of our heart, God. Bind them about our neck on today, God, that we will not sin against you. Help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to shake off any and everything, Father God, from our past that has caused us to act the same way that we did then, which is unchangeable. Oh God, we're asking you to help us on today, Father God. Let us not be stricken in our own ways, God. Touch us in our minds on today, Father God. And even as I anoint your people, Father God. Oh, my mind, let it go, shot, not let it go, see. Change some things inside of their thought perception. Change some things, Father God, even in their mind that has the go, shot, not let it go, see. That has caused them to think or believe, Father God, that this is how it's supposed to be. Oh, God, when you got a better way, you know a better way. Oh, God, I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will complete the work that you've begun inside of your people. Because you got a perfect will and a perfect plan for before God. You want them to be perfected inside of you, even though we are not perfect. Oh God, I'm asking you to help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help us right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we would even respond in wisdom. We want to respond in wisdom, Father God, even when somebody is being ugly towards us. I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you would be with us, God. I'm asking you to hold us, God. I'm asking you to complete us, God. Even in that place where we feel like we are empty and that we are all alone. Build your people up and let them know, Father God, that you said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You are with us even until the very end of the world. Oh, God, I'm asking you to continue to shower your love down on us, Lord. Encamp your angels around us, God. Stir us the right way, God. Direct our footsteps and guide our paths, God, that we will not walk backwards, that we will not kneel, go shouting it like I see. Oh God, I'm asking you to heal us, God, from any old ties and any soul ties. Uproot these things on today, Father God, that we will have a fresh start, a new beginning, because you said that we die daily. Kill any and everything out of us, Father God, that's not like you, God, that we will be holy. Oh God, circumcise our hearts on today. Circumcise our minds on today. Circumcise our thoughts on today. Oh God, help us on today to be detached from that abnormal act that is not pleasing in your sight. Help us on today, Father God, to accept your will, your way, your purpose, and your plan. Oh God, that we are my mind in the local sun, that we may, Father God, be able to see your face. Help us on today, God. Touch each and every individual in this place, Father God, in the name of Jesus. You know us all name by name. You know us, Father God. You number the very hairs on our head. You know the things, Father God, that we try to prove, and even the things that is disapproved in your sight. I'm asking you to help us on today, Father God. Oh God, help us on today, Father God, to just be right in you, God. Help us on today, Father God, to hunger and thirst after you, Lord. Because the more that we get in you, Father God, the more free we'll become. Oh God, and you'll go shut like I see. Put your truth down in the very bowels of our belly. Stir it up, Father God. Oh God, help you go shut like I see. Give us a heart of acceptance on today, God, that we may become in agreement with any and everything that you have already declared and decreed of our lives individually. Touch our children, Lord. Touch our grandchildren, the ones now and to come. Touch our husbands and our wives now and to come. Touch our bodies on today, God. Let us recognize that our bodies are a temple. Touch us on today, Father God, and let your people know their worth. Let them know, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they are valuable to you. Oh God, save our very souls on today, God, that we may be okay. Oh God, complete. I just keep hearing the word completion. Oh God, complete. Complete what you did, God. Complete what you started, Lord. Oh, my mind in a local shot. And each and every last one of us, God. I'm asking you to do it, Father God, that we will not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Oh God, that we will not return back into the vomit and lap it up like a dog. Oh, my mind in a local sea. Oh God, cleanses and washes over, Lord. We have poured out our hearts, Father God. We have made our petition known, Father God. You know each and every last one of us, God. You number the hairs. You know our uprising and even our downtimes. Lord, you know any and everything about us, Father God. And even when you go see the things that we do not even know about ourselves, Lord. Oh God, because you are the fixer of us. I'm asking you to do it on today, God. Do it for us, Lord. Because you're the only one that can. You're the only one that can, God. Any and everything that's heavy down on our hearts, lift it up on today, Father God. No matter what the situation is, if it's concerning an individual, God, if it's concerning a job, our homes, it does not matter. Lift it up on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we cast our cares at your feet. We're giving you all this stuff on today, and we're not going to take it back with us, God, because we trust in you, and we believe, Father God, that you're not just going to handle it, but you're capable of fixing it. Oh, God, I'm asking you to do it now, God. In your son Jesus' name, work it all out for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Jesus. This is what he had me preaching about today. How you want to work some things out of us that we can't see. You may be seated if you want to. As you get ready to go back to your seat, please understand that God want to do some things for you. These things is not for you to take back home. I want you to leave this stuff right here at this altar. I want you to leave all this stuff right here at this altar. I don't want you to carry it. I don't want you to hold it. I want you to really. It's a lot of times that we keep on and keep on trying to do and prove and trying to fix and change it. And it just ain't working out for us. You got to. The Bible declares that we ought to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. So it's 90% of the time that we got to acknowledge him. Lord, what you want me to do next? How about we be quiet and say, Lord, what you want me to say next? Lord, how you want me to act, Lord? What can I do, God, to change that thing? Come here, Eddie B.
I'm doing it wrong.
What can I do, Lord, to change that thing?
So the Lord will show me that.
Lord, I trust you.
The Lord will show me that.
Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes the Lord will put some people in your life or place some people in your life that you never thought or never expected to do the very things that you desire your very own family to do. These are divine connections. Don't nothing happen by chance. Did y'all hear what I say? Everything was already preordained and predestined even before we came into existence in our very mama's belly. Everything that we are experiencing in the season that we are in now, God is trying to teach us something through our perspective. Change your perspective. And everything, and just thank God. It may be something bad, well, Lord, I just thank you for it. Because your perspective on that thing will enlighten you in your thoughts. And it'll help you to be able to accept this thing that you think is unchangeable. And you won't be bound to it. And then you'll see the changes be made. Did y'all hear me? For real. Because God knows. He knows. We don't know how long certain things gonna happen or how long we got to be in that place. But guess what? Change your perspective and give thanks. And you watch what God start doing in your life. You're gonna see them changes. You're gonna experience some stuff. You're going to be like, oh, wow. I'm a witness to it. Because my perspective on certain things now, if it was not for God changing my perspective, I don't think I would have made it last week, y'all. Because it was challenging and it was hard. But my perspective, and I just started thanking God. And then it seemed like everything shifted. Everything shifted. When I say everything shifted, and it's as if nothing has happened, y'all. I'm telling you, your perspective can shift some things for you in your entire life. So don't think that you're alone. Don't think that you're struggling. No. I'm in between blessings. I ain't struggling. I don't know what God gonna do or how he gonna do it, but I know his thoughts towards me are good. And I know it's gonna work out for my good. I'm not going to allow this to be a strain on my brain, because I'm going to cast my cares at his feet. So that way, I won't be doing the opposite of something that's not pleasing to his sight. Our perspectives are elevating. Father God, elevate your people. Illuminate them, Father God, in the name of Jesus. That trial will turn into a testimony, God. Giving them that joy and that peace. Oh God, that we yearn so, that love. Oh God, I'm asking you to touch our hearts. Remove the hardness of the heart on today. Give us a heart of flesh. Because you're going to work it all out for my good. So did y'all hear me? Don't let that situation, that challenge, or the season you in, think and believe is here to make you. It's just here to break you. It's here to make you. He meant it all for your good. He'll bring you out. I'm telling you. It's just temporary. It's temporary because of some things that you prayed to the Lord. Now all you got to do is just trusting, believing, and then watching. That's it. For real. Because the enemy is trying to attack God's people. He trying to attack us and do it hard because he wants us to be weary and faint. Mm-mm. Don't you know we serve an undefeated God? He can't be beat. It's a fixed fight. For real. Father God, lift up the heaviness, Lord. Lift up the heaviness off your people, God. Let them not take that stuff back with them. Do what you do best, God, and simply seal by us your people. I promise, Lord, we're going to glorify you. We're going to lift you up. And we thank you in advance, God, for considering every prayer we put on the altar. Everyone's is in our heart that we is hidden and never even said anything about it. We releasing it to you right now, God. Because we know, God, you are able and capable. So everybody that you think is your enemy, write their name down on a yellow sheet of paper and put it on the altar. Everybody that you think did you wrong or doing you wrong, write their name down on a sheet of paper and put it on the altar. Everybody that you think and believe that they betrayed you, hurt you, or was disloyal, write it down. When I was walking up there to the altar just now praying, he said, have them to write that stuff down. I don't care who it is or how long ago it was, and you still holding on to it. You may think that you release it and you let it go, but guess what? It's still there. Because if it wasn't, he wouldn't have me saying it now. In all truth, it's hard to let go of some stuff. So we want to confess it and write it down right now. Because Because, baby, it's some dogs out there. It's some dirty folk. It's some evil and wicked people. It's some people that know they performing or doing some acts, and they think they doing right or trying to get back at you. That's hurting to the very core. Write that stuff down. They name. You can write their name. God knows what's going on. I remember this little kid lied on me. And in the midst of them lying on me, a kid, the Lord saying, love them still. Don't treat them no different. Y'all tell me how easy that was. Because that lie very well sabotaged or started some confusion. And the Lord told me that, shh, I could not even say nothing. I could not defend myself. I could not prune. I had to shut it all away. Now y'all tell me how easy that was. I'm talking about Yvette. I ain't talking about nobody else. And then as that was going on, the Lord started changing my perspective. See, because when some folk don't get what they want or how they want it, they'll conjure up all kind of stuff to make you look or feel a certain type of way because they do. Yeah. Think about it. People will perform actions or acts towards you because they in that place and they want you to be in the same place they in. For real though, misery do loves company. So if you happy, don't you want other folk to be happy too? Come on now. If you mad, don't you want that person to be mad too? That's how we do. But if we change our perspective on that person that is performing these very acts, whether it's good or bad towards us, if we change our perspective, it won't be so hard for us to forgive and overlook some things. Just like Jesus said, and just like Thomas said, and just like Stephen said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because a lot of people really don't know what they're doing. They just doing it because they think it's normal. Unchangeable acts that they used to doing. They bound to it. But we're not going to be slaves to that. We're not going to be slaves to that. I pray all the time that we do not allow these things to rule us. Because it's easy. Especially when you're angry or hurt. It's easy for it to rule you. And then cause you to be unacceptable in the sight of God. And then when he start reproving you or rebuking you, you're like, oh man, I failed the test again. I'm telling y'all, last week I was like, oh Lord. And after the fact, he showed me and I was like, okay, let me redo this again now. Because I want to be acceptable in his sight. I don't want to err, and neither do I want to cause nobody else to err. I just don't, and that's just me. Father God, touch us as we continue to write these things down, these names down that you have instructed us to write down, Father God. We're going to bring them unto you, Father God, and we're going to put them on the altar. We're going to leave it there. In the midst of it, Lord, we're asking you to remove any residue, any and everything that's down in the inside of our hearts that's preventing us, Father God, from releasing and letting these things go. Even though it may be a challenge, even though it may be hard, God, we're going to choose to do it. And we thank you in advance for what you are going to do in our lives concerning this matter or this individual. In your son Jesus' name, amen. Put this stuff on the altar, you guys. Put them names on that altar. If you're still writing, keep writing and still put it on the altar. Jesus. Sometimes people really don't know. They really don't know what they're doing, baby. I promise you, it's gonna be good for you. You'll see. You'll see. Just thank God for this season. Let's change our perspective, y'all. I love you guys so much. And I hope it was something that was said on today. Please continue to pray for Miss Gloria. I told y'all she's going to a regular room. Yay. She ain't even taking dialysis no more. It's very rare that they put you on dialysis and then take you off. You tell me that ain't but God. She went in there and her kidneys was only working 7% to 8%. They working fully by themselves now. She ain't got no more fluid on her legs. She got wrinkles in her legs, y'all. I mean, it's just amazing from where I saw her from where she is today. On a ventilator, couldn't even breathe by herself. And she ain't got oxygen no more. She can breathe by herself. That ain't nothing but God. Make sure y'all pray for Lisa. Y'all know she known here. She had to be rushed to the hospital this morning. She couldn't hardly breathe. Her chest was hurting real bad. They said that she had the flu. So y'all, please. Her temperature was over 102. I think that's what she told me. Make sure that y'all continue to pray for her. Pray for any and everybody that you don't see. Make sure you pray for your loved ones, saved and unsaved, near and afar. Pray, 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 and don't stop praying because the enemy is on a warpath. Why? Because it's time winding down. I want y'all to stay encouraged and don't get discouraged about absolutely nothing. Change your perspective when you are in that challenging situation or that thing that causes you to be in a place of rage or anger. Know and understand the will that the Lord have for your life. And what is his will? All good things. Life, prosperity, success, love, peace. That's it. Understand that. So in you receiving or getting to that place or to that point where he wants you to be, there's going to be some challenges. You're going to have to experience some things. You're going to have to suffer for a while because he said after you have suffered for a while. He didn't say during the suffering. He said after you have suffered for a while, then I'm perfect. He said, I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to hold you up. And doing all that, I'm going to let you rest. You're going to get in that place of peace. So just know. Try and try. It's all part of the territory, y'all. It ain't to break you, it's to make you. And just thank him. He said all things, thank you. He told me that. He had me to tell this young lady last week. She was really going through and I was just ministering to her. I said, baby, the Lord told me to tell you to change your perspective. And I just got one phrase to say to you. God say, he's sparing you just in the nick of time. Because if you had stayed in that place, in that situation, or in that circumstance, it could have killed you graveyard day. And then after that, it was like her tears became less. So when she talked about it, it wasn't just pouring down no more. She was just like, I just thank God. And guess what, y'all? She didn't even say. She said, I just thank God. I said, thank you. See, our perspective will shift some things, even in our thoughts. Our perspective can literally change the entire situation. Did y'all know that? I'm telling you if you didn't. Your perspective can change the entire situation and everything will shift and you'll be like, oh, I bet you dancing in front of the Lord then. I bet you clapping your hands then. Change your perspective and watch. Just watch. Your perspective. The perspective is the key to freedom right here in your thoughts. Don't y'all ever forget that. Even in the midst of rage. You ain't gonna be thinking about none of this stuff that was preached and said today. But when you come to yourself, change your perspective. And sometimes we got to get past being angry. The Bible says you could get angry but sin not, right? So in you not sinning, that's because your perspective changed. It's okay to get angry. But after you come to yourself, change your perspective and watch everything shift. Come on, y'all. Let's get God a hand clap of praise. I thank him for his word on today. I thank him for any and everything that he has said unto us to help us to continue to be able to live this life of abundance and in freedom that he promised us. When he sent his son Jesus and he said when he was on the cross, it is finished. He finished it all for us. He finished it all for us. And I thank God for that. We are free. That's what he's saying. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I thank, come on one more time, y'all. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. And thank him for being just who he is. And he is God all by himself. We're going to get ready to get our tithes and our offering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. People gave me their tithes and their offering on this week. So the Bible declares that we ought to give God 10% of our increase. So anything that you had an increase in, anything that he has given you, you ought to give him 10% of it. And God is not a greedy God. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. So in saying that, that means he's going to show you favor. He's going to show you favor. He's going it's going to be some people just doing some things for you. The Bible says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And try me if I'm not a man of my word. If I will open you up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that's that overflow, that you won't have room enough to receive. He said he's going to rebuke the devourer and the creditor and all that other stuff. He said he's going to do these things for us. This is what God said. He said it, not me. I love you guys so, so, so very much. I thank God for his word. I'm telling y'all, he woke me up this morning, boy, talking about that thing. I was like, Lord. He say offense. I say offense. What? He say, yeah. We always offended. It's always offensive to everything. Baby, and he about to talk to me for a whole hour. And then that's when my phone rang. And they was telling me they had to go to the hospital, Lisa. When I sit up here and tell y'all, after I hung up that phone from talking to her and I prayed with her and everything, he got to talking to me. He said, get up and go get the Bible. I said, okay, Lord. He won't let me look through the app. I be trying to look through the app. He said, get up. He make me hands on. I'm good with that. Because it give me a better understanding because I could see all the scriptures. You know what I'm saying? So I started looking and reading and looking and reading. He said, unchangeable, unchained changes. That's the name of the sermon. I say, unchained. He said, yeah, write it. Because it kind of baffled me. What kind of title is that? He said, unchangeable, unchained changes. I said, okay, Lord. He says, it's the perspective of it. See, you looking at it like this. And then that's when the light bulb went off. That perspective, y'all. It changed my whole outlook on what he wanted me to say today. But yet it had to come to me first. Literally, this morning. Baby, who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? Help me to help me. Help me to help me, please. I don't want to have that's just me and I ain't changing for nobody. Change me, Lord. I'm grown and can't nobody. I'm a child. I'm a children. Teach me. I'm not unteachable and I ain't unapproachable. Please tell me. Because I don't know it all. I don't pretend to know it all. I need some help. Nah. Nobody else. I confess, I need help. Because I ain't got it together. I'm trying to get it together. And we all here together, get it together. Together. How about that? This is a hospital. And everybody in here is sick. Even me. We all need surgery or organ transplants. Look, he said organ transplants. Lord, give us a new heart.